going on, but I'm just telling you right now, it's a weight to carry right now. I've been going through a lot myself, and the last thing that you want to do is kick a man while he's down. I've seen too many men out of the ministry because of people, lost people attacking a pastor. I don't believe saved people to do that. Maybe they do, but I'm telling you what, the people that I've seen in my lifetime to attack a pastor and chew him up and spit him out are the ones that are lost. Turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 this morning. I'm going to talk about that anointing, that atoning blood. That atoning blood this morning. Romans chapter 5. As I was preparing for the message this morning, the word atonement is found in the Bible. I think it said 70 times. But there's only one time. I thought this was good. There's only one time that the word atonement is found in the New Testament. I believe that there's a reason for that this morning. Let me read this. Romans 5:6 is where we're going to begin. Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Father, I pray for your help this morning. It's at a heavy heart, Lord, that I'm preaching this message this morning. Lord, most faithful man, Lord, that we have, God, Brother Joe was, Lord, not able to be here this morning. And God, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, it would work on others' hearts, God, that, God, of how, Lord, he's faithful, Lord, to Sunday school and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Lord, to know he's not in his place this morning. And Lord, we know the reason, but God, I just pray, Father, you'd use him to reach his lost family for the cause of Christ. Lord, many in his family that are lost and need to come to that saving knowledge, God. And Lord, for it's eternally too late, I pray that you would use this church, God. Lord, that people would come to that saving knowledge and Lord, receive and Lord, allow, Lord, for that atoning blood to be applied, Father. Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us from all our sins. Help us now this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The word atonement now, this is the only time that the word atonement appears in the New Testament. I thought that was pretty good because the word atonement means, according to the Strong's, which is the word that the Greek word that it comes out of, it means a restoration to the divine favor. Restoration to the divine favor. The word atonement is found, if I remember, it's around 70 times. The word atonement is found in the Bible. All are found in the Old Testament but one. Think about this, because only takes, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation is a one-time thing, and if it's happened, it is an atonement. I like the way this was broke down. I was looking in a concordance, and it had this word. If you break down this word atonement into say, it's at one moment or at one moment. When you break that word down, atonement, into three words there, at one minute or at one moment, that's what it means to be atoned. It's an agreement, a concord, a reconciliation after intimacy or controversy. That's what it means to be atoned back to God. It's a one time in the Old Testament before the blood of Jesus Christ had been shed, before that atoning blood had been given. They constantly had to sacrifice animals. Yearly they had to sacrifice animals and shed that blood. and to give up that blood for the atonement of their sins. And listen, as those of us that are sinners, that's what I like when I read this. And maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you don't get it. But when you look in the New Testament, you only find that word atonement one time. Hey, hallelujah. Praise God, because it only takes one time, if real salvation has happened in your heart, it only takes one time with the blood of Jesus Christ, that atoning blood, that real blood, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, because if His blood was not enough, then He would have had to die every year since the foundation of this world. But because He's the God in the flesh, because His blood is precious, His blood's not after the seed of Adam, because of who He is and who He was and who He'll forever be, it only took one time on Calvary's cross to atone for our sins. That sacrifice only had to take place one time. That's what the Hebrews had trouble with. That's why we have the book of Hebrews. The Hebrews, yes, it is written for the Jew or toward the Jew, but it's for each and every one of us, because there's so many religions in our day and time that teach that you have to have a continual sacrifice or a continual works and different things. That's what the book of Hebrews, I told you, my two favorite books in the Bible is the book of Galatians and the book of Hebrews, because both of them deal with so much false doctrine that we see in our day and time. And the Hebrews was written for the Jews, because the Jews said, well, yes, you only have to be saved once, but then you still have to keep the law. So the writer of the book of Hebrews says, no, you don't have to do that. Well, you know, you have to, yes, you can be saved, but then you still have to do other sacrifices. And the writer of Hebrews says, no, that's not what you have to do. That Jesus one time died for one time for our sins, and then He took the blood and applied it to the mercy seat of heaven. He even tells us that the tabernacle that Moses received in the wilderness was modeled after the tabernacle that was that's in heaven. And Moses got to see that tabernacle in heaven and got to model the one on earth after the one in heaven. And Jesus entered in one time into the Holy of Holies in heaven and applied the blood of Jesus Christ. And His blood atoned one time for the sins of many, the Bible tells us. Why does it say, preacher, why does it say many, not for all? Because unfortunately, all won't receive Him. Unfortunately, all will not receive Him. There'll be people that sit in churches that die and go to hell. There'll be good people that sit in church and die and go to hell. That atonement means for the restoration to the divine favor. Listen, you can't make it on your own. You can't do it on your own. Number one, that atoning blood. Why did we need it? Here He tells us in verse number 6 why we need it. For when we were yet without strength, it's not in us. It's not in us to do it ourselves. You take the strongest man in this world that can pick up, you see all these strong men contest, and they're picking up those great big old stone balls, and they're picking them up, they're setting them on these pillars, and then they've got this one contest where they got the Hercules grip, I think it may be, something grip. They got these two big pillars, and they stand between them, and they grab them, and they let those pillars go, and they have to stand there and hold these two big pillars that are leaning over. And listen, but the Bible tells us that when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. It's not in us to do right. It's not in us. You can't get there through good works. You can't get there by keeping the law. The Bible plainly tells us, even in the Old Testament, when they were given the law, the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. The Bible, the law was not given, as the book of Galatians says, the law was not given to show you how to get to God. The law was given to show you that you can't get to God on your own. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, to realize you can't do it on your own, that you can't, listen, you can't make it on your own. Even growing up in a preacher's house at 9 years old, you can't make it on your own. You got to trust the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice given on Calvary's cross for your sin debt. Hey, it doesn't matter whether you're raised in a preacher's home or a drunkard's home. We are all without strength. That's why we need that atoning blood. We are without strength. Also in that verse he says, for the ungodly. We are not, listen, we're not holy of ourselves. We're not righteous of ourselves. We're ungodly as a people. After you're saved, you put on the righteousness of Christ. You're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's why you should want to live holy. That's why you should want to dress right. That's why you should want to. Live right. People shouldn't catch you down at the bar in the honky tonks. People shouldn't catch you over out at the beach with your clothes stripped off. People shouldn't catch you listening to ungodly music. Music, I believe, is one of the strongest influences. That's why you see this contemporary mess rise up in churches, because they don't have God. The Bible says they have a form of God, form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They got the form of God. We're preaching. How dare you say that? We're a church too, and we go in and we have our lights flashing and our smoke going, and we got a big rock concert, and we feel good. No, you make your flesh feel good. That's why we ain't doing that garbage. That's why we dress right. That's why we spit white. That's why we don't suck on cigarettes and all this other garbage. That's why we don't ride all over our body, all over the church building. People, Christians, are supposed to be different. I'm sick of this bunch of carnal Christianity in our day and time. All it's doing is sending a bunch of people to hell is what it's doing. People can come as they are, leave as they were. There's never any change. That ain't what the Bible says. You're either going to believe what God says, that you're to repent and there's to be change in your life, or you're going to believe what man says, that you can live any way you want to, die any way you want to, and you'll go to heaven. I tell you what, I believe the Bible, and I'll see you on the other side. We'll see which one's right, which one's wrong. This little Johnny was in class, and one day, and the teacher asked, who in here believes the Bible story of Jonah being swallowed by the whale? Well, Johnny raised his hand up and said, I believe it, teacher. Teacher said, I can't believe you believe that. I bet you believe in heaven and hell, don't you? He said, yes, I do, ma'am. So I tell you what, when I get to heaven, I'll find out, and I'll let Jonah find out about Jonah and how it was like in the whale. Teacher said, well, what if he went to hell? He said, well, I guess you'll have to find out. See, the majority of this world's not going to heaven. The majority of this world's going to hell. That's not my words. That's the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Said that more people are going to die and go to hell. Why? Because of wolves coming in, telling people, well, you got to do it this way, and you got to do it that way. You got to do this, you got to do that. I'm telling you, it ain't through the Baptist church, it ain't through a Methodist church. It's by repenting of your sins. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 13, except ye repent, that means to turn from your sin, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus' first words in his earthly ministry was repent. John the Baptist preached repentance. Peter on the day of Pentecost preached repentance. Paul preached repentance. It's not something people say, oh, that's a work, preacher. No, it's a work of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, this is why, listen, if the Holy Spirit of God didn't live inside of you, if the Holy Spirit of God didn't convict you when you got saved, you're not saved. The Holy Spirit of God brings about repentance. The Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. The Holy Spirit comes in your heart. I don't care if your own daddy baptized you. I don't care who baptized you. If the Holy Spirit of God didn't speak to your heart and deal with you and do a change in your life, then you're not saved. The Holy Spirit comes into the heart, brings about repentance. It convicts you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, when he has come, the Comforter, he'll reprove the world of sin. The first thing he does in your life when he's dealing with you about salvation is convict you about your sin. And then of righteousness and of judgment to come. You're a sinner in need of salvation. Of righteousness, because you're not right in the sight of God. You can't make it on your own. There's nothing. The Bible says, Isaiah 64:6, that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You cannot do good for God. That's why we need that atoning blood. We are ungodly. We're without strength. The Bible says, he says in verse number 8 here, he says, but God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. My wife is a sinner. We don't go out and practice sin, but sin does unfortunately happen. We get discouraged. We get upset. Sometimes we get mad. The Bible does say there is righteous anger. I don't like getting angry at all, though it happens, because I'm afraid that every time I get angry, it's not righteous anger. I'm not the Lord. That's why I try to avoid anger, but it happens a lot. My 5-year-old is a sinner. She may not understand that now. She don't know what that means, but she lies. She takes things without permission. See, I'm a realist. As far, I believe that Bible. I'm not covering up nobody's sin. I'm not making excuses for anybody. You need to be saved. I don't care whether you go up to preacher's home or not. You got to be saved. You got to repent of your sins. You got to believe the Lord Jesus Christ for the full remission of your sins. I didn't make no excuse for that one. I haven't made no excuse for that one. Though that one's 15 and that one's almost 13. Hey, they've got to show evidence. The Bible says there's evidence. He said, by their fruits you shall know them. What's the fruit? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, goodness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no law of God that can cause them things. You say, preacher, but I love people. Do you really? Do you love the brother? Do you get mad at the preacher for the preaching? Do you get mad at the preacher for showing you the Bible and what the Bible says? Then you're not saved. I'm not preaching anything controversial, anything mean, anything. I'm giving people the truth. And it shows that people don't want the truth. I'm thankful for y'all that most of you seem to want the truth. People in our day and time don't want the truth. People wanted the truth. There'd be a line waiting here at 9:45 when I get here on Sunday morning, waiting to get the doors open. But we ain't a rock concert. We're not a country honky-tonk. And we're not some bar or some drunkard's hangout or some drug crackhead's house or anything like that. So unfortunately, people aren't knocking the doors down. I'm working on a message. Lord, just give me yesterday. Sometimes it's got to get worse before it gets better. I'm turning this over. I may preach this Wednesday night. I don't know. I'm still turning over my mind. But the Lord touched my heart. I've heard so many messages. They're in Exodus with the children of Israel. We heard a good one. That was last year or the year before. The one last year was talking about each time that Moses went to Pharaoh, the children and all these different things that Pharaoh, but then brother out of Florida preached the message out of Joseph. When Joseph told Pharaoh, and he said, if you'll give me the meaning of this interpretation of this dream, I'll make you great. And Joseph said, it's not in me, it's in the Lord. It's not me, and they preach tremendous messages, all that. But anyway, I was thinking about, the Lord touched my heart yesterday, how sometimes it's got to get, we think, prayer. God, why does it keep getting worse? Why does it keep getting worse? Because God's trying to let people get a hold of people. Look at the children of Israel. When Moses first started, when Moses went to appear before Pharaoh, those children of Israel have been crying out, right? The Bible says they've been crying out, Lord, we need deliverance. God, send the deliverer you told us was coming. When are we getting out of here? God sends Moses. And the first time Moses goes before Pharaoh, what happens? Pharaoh gets mad and says, you'll not get hay, any more straw to make bricks. And your tally bricks can't diminish one bit. Did he get better the first time? Nope. Got worse. And what happened? The children of Israel complained and murmured. Why? Because though they thought they wanted help, they didn't want the kind of help that that Moses was given. See, a lot of people content with their sin and with their lifestyle. They just want a little bit better. I was thinking about this. This is another thing that's been chewing on. I've been chewing on this one too this week. It's amazing how in our world, I think most of us here could agree that the majority, not everybody, now there are some hardworking people, and I'm not saying Christian people, but in the world, there are a lot of people that want something for nothing right now, right? I mean, that's what we're seeing. But with Christianity in the world, things work backwards. The way to get up in Christianity is to get down, to be a humble servant, to serve God, Bible says, Paul says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So if you want to serve God, you have to, if you want to be up in the church and used, you need to be a servant. You need to work hard in the church and do things in the church, that kind of thing. If you want the way to get is to give. The world, it's backwards. Well, that's the way it is. With real salvation, it's a free gift. The Bible tells us right here. This is part of the reason I'm into it. I'm ruling my ending, but I don't care. I'm just going to give it to you this morning. It says it's a free gift right here in this chapter. It's a free gift. Real salvation is a free gift. You can't earn it. But the world, they want everything else for free but salvation. They don't want somebody to give them heaven. They want to earn it. I want to get religion. I want to give my way to heaven. Why? Because men are boastful when it comes to that. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to getting into heaven, they want to be able to boast themselves and say, I earned my way into heaven. There's nobody that would be able to do that that would be in heaven. Not of works, least any man should boast. Because God knows. If it was a works-based salvation, if you could earn your way, that's why we differ from every other, even most other Protestant religions. So I don't claim Baptist or Protestant. Most Protestant religions, we do not believe in any kind of work salvation. Repentance is a work of the Holy Ghost or working in your heart to make you turn away from your sin or your religion. It does not make you work your way into heaven. Listen, you cannot earn your way into heaven. The Bible tells us that here he says, when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's why we needed it. He says that God commanded his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why did we need it? Because we're ungodly, that we're without strength. We're sinners. There's nothing in us to do good. As much as we think, well, that man, preacher, that's a good man right there. Oh, yeah? By whose standard? God? See, we always say that. That's another word, y'all. Y'all, most of you know, I've said that before. The word love gets thrown around in our damn time. We all admit that. I love a Maider sandwich. Come summer, the fresh grown, homegrown tomatoes. It's something I like. I really like. But we use the word love. It gets thrown around. Another word that gets thrown around a lot is the word good. Well, that's a good man right there. Oh, yeah? Why? Well, he's a moral man. What do you mean? Well, I mean, he shows up to work every day. What does the Bible say? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. But it's a word we throw around a lot. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just letting you know. We throw around in our day and time. That's why we have an issue. Hey, that's why we got a Supreme Court justice or soon to be Supreme Court justice that can't define what a woman is. Something, I'm 39 years old, something that was not a controversy when I was 12 years old. It was on a movie. They often show that clip. Some of you may have seen it. I'll say it later, not in the pulpit. But it's funny that here we are, we can't even tell you what a man or a woman is. Why are they doing that? It's the devil. That's why we have men's clothing and women's clothing still. Because the world acknowledges there's a difference, though, that we're slowly getting away from. Why? Because they want to do away with all of God's principles and all of God's standards. That's why we have a men and women's bathroom. We acknowledge that God is right, man is wrong. There should be separation. There should be separation. Men and women have no business changing in the same locker room. They have no business using the same bathroom. They have no business using the same changing rooms. I'm just glad that my kids are homeschooled because I'm telling you what, if it happened here, me and somebody would be going around if they tried to allow that garbage that goes on in some of these other places. Why do we need that atoning blood? Because here we are. We're sinners. Number two, why did he have to do it? Because number one, we were enemies. Verse number 10, for if when we were enemies. See, we're an enemy of God. Those people that are lost, we're not all God. They're not all God's children. Lost people are not God's children at all. Let me put it as simple as that. Anybody that is lost is not a child of God. This idea of day and time, again, this is ecumenicalism and everything else. We're all God's children. No, we're not. If you've not been saved, if you've not repented of your sins, if the Holy Spirit of God has not birthed you into the family of God, you are an enemy of God. The Bible says we're to love our enemies. We're to do good to them. We're not to be mean to them. We're not to run some law. Listen, anybody lost or saved, claiming to be saved, is allowed in this church. We don't show favoritism to anybody. We've allowed people to come in that looked as rough as they could, people that didn't dress right, those kinds of things, people that smelled. I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just telling you. The Bible says we're supposed to do that. There is God. We're not to have any respect of persons regarding the church because they need to be saved too. But if somebody comes in and they're lost, if you're here this morning, you're lost, you're the enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. For when we were without Christ, we were enemies of God. We're the enemies. That's why we can't do it. That's why we couldn't do it ourselves. How could you reconcile when you are the enemy? Number two here, verse number 12, he says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Why couldn't we do it? Because death is upon us. Jesus, there is no death upon Jesus. Jesus said, no man taketh my life, I lay it down freely. No man can take it. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up. Think about that. On Calvary's cross, no matter what they did to him, no matter how much they beat him and mocked him and spit upon him and left him hanging up there on that cross, they could not kill him. Often we get mad, we think, well, the Jews killed Jesus or the Romans killed Jesus. But according to that Bible, nobody killed Jesus. They beat him, they hung him up there in open shame, they mocked him, they ripped the flesh from his skin. But the Bible says he still had to give up his life for you and I. See, we couldn't get it ourselves. We couldn't make an atonement for ourselves because we're dying. Even this little five-year-old right here is dying. From the moment that they're born, their days are numbered. Now, there are people that can shorten their life. I'm not advocating for suicide. I believe it's totally wrong. I don't think anybody should do it. There are people that murder other people that I believe it's wrong that they took somebody's life out short. But throughout all this pandemic, with all this stuff going on, God knew those people were going to die. I'm not saying I'm for it or against it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, good thing, anything like that. God knew. It is appointed unto men once to die. It's already appointed to me. My death, mine could be tomorrow for all I know. For all you know, yours could be tomorrow. No man's guaranteed tomorrow. Most of you probably saw this week those 6 teenage girls down here in Oklahoma that got killed by a semi. They probably thought they had their whole life in front of them. 6 teenage girls in a car. Snuffed out of this world. Just like that. Austin's dad probably thought he was going to wake up from that surgery there in the hospital Friday. Just like that, he was gone. Are you prepared? Could you honestly say this morning, if you closed your eyes tonight and you had a heart attack in your sleep, that you'd open your eyes in heaven? Is that atoning blood, that one payment for all? At one moment, that's it. Has it been paid in your life? That's why we needed him. We're enemies. We're dying. That's why the Bible says if we have hope only in this world, we're of all men most miserable. If this is it. If this is it, think about this. Think of the best person that you can think of. Think of the richest person in the world. Think of Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos. They're two of the richest men in the world. What have they got? Well, they got money, preacher. They got wealth and fame. Yeah, both of them couldn't take care of their wives. Both of them are divorced now. And even if they lived 120 years and they've got billions of dollars, so what? So what? I'd rather be dirt poor with my wife and be happy than have millions and millions of dollars and be miserable. Can't go out in public because you got people probably begging for money all the time. You can't go out and do stuff. Everybody knows who you are. That's a lot of the problem these superstar athletes have. They have people who recognize them all the time. Then people probably begging for money from them and everything else. I'd rather be poor and serve the Lord than rich and forget who He is. There's a couple verses in the book of Proverbs that talks about that. Why did we need Him? We were condemned, verse number 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. We're already condemned. That's why we needed Him to do it. Why did He have to do it? Because we were already condemned. Book of John chapter number 3 says, He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. If you're in this Lord and you're really not saved, you're already condemned. There's no more you can't sell your soul to the devil. You can't sell your soul to this. You can't sell your soul to that. You're already there. You're already condemned. That's why He had to do it. That's why He could not be after the similitude of Adam. That's why He, the one that died for us, could not have been a man, just a man, like some people try to claim. There's a movement in our day and time of people that are trying to say that, well, he wasn't God, but He wasn't necessarily man. He had to be God. Because if He wasn't God, then we're still in our sins because His blood could not make an atonement for us. It took the sin of the spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ. Bible says as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world to die for our sins. That's why we had to have that atoning blood. Why did we need it? Because we're sinners. We're ungodly. Why did He have to do it? Because we can't. We're enemies. We're death upon all of us. We're condemned. Number 3, why did His blood work? Because His Father is God, not Adam. His Father is God, not Adam. He's God in the flesh. He says, nevertheless, verse number 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. They didn't do the same sin that Adam did, but death still reigned over them. Who is the figure of Him to come? But not as an offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. It's because of Him. It's because God's His Father. Verse number 19, it says, because... For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Why did His blood work? Because God's His Father. Number 2, because of His obedience. Bible tells us that He was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because He was God. The Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was God. He's God in the flesh. But yet He became obedient. Humbled Himself to the cross, the Bible says, and died for our sins. Because of His obedience, His blood worked. Because God was the Father of the Son, the blood worked. Number 3 here. Because of His righteousness. Look at verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Because He is righteous and we are not. He is righteous, we are not. Jesus Christ kept every point of the law fulfilled then every point of the law and of prophecy. There is nobody else that could do what Jesus Christ did. Somebody this week was trying to tell me that Jesus was not God in the flesh and that you couldn't give one verse of Scripture to back that up. I said, you don't know your Bible. And I gave him Isaiah 14, verse 6, I think it may be. It says, for unto us a son is given. Unto us a son is given. His name shall be Wonderful, the Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God. How can you deny that He's God in the flesh when the Bible makes it very clear? Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. That's the very meaning of Emmanuel. How could God be with us unless He was with us? How can you say that Jesus Christ was not God in the flesh when so many verses of the Bible say that He was? That's the teaching of the Jehovah's Witnesses. That's what that is. And you know what that's doing? That's condemning millions of Jehovah's Witnesses to hell. Because if you don't believe that He was God and that He was God in the flesh, you cannot be saved. If you don't believe that He died on Calvary's cross for the full payment of your sins, you cannot be saved. Somebody may not or may not understand this man down here, Larnard, that I've been talking about. He's getting caught up on creation, and I believe it's very important. But I don't think you necessarily have to believe it when you get saved. When I got saved, if you'd have been telling me that, I'd have probably been confused, not fully understanding creation. I do believe it's a pillar of the faith as far as understanding and believing that God created this world and the devil's attack. You don't necessarily have to believe at that point that the world was created by God. The Bible says in order to be saved, you must believe that He is God in the flesh, that He came according to the Scriptures, fulfilling the Scriptures, died on Calvary's cross for the full payment of your sins, was born of a virgin, and that He resurrected the third day according to the Scriptures, for your sin debt. That's what you have to believe. I can't drop anything from that. That's as easy as I can. It's not a head knowledge. Many people say, well, I believe, preacher. Your life doesn't show it. Many people say, well, I believe that Jesus died on Calvary's cross, but their life does not show it. Jesus made it very clear. Oh, preacher, don't you know it says judge not? Yep. Judge not, at least thou be judged. For after the same manner thou judgest someone, thou shalt be judged. Forgive me, I'm misquoting it. But basically, if I judge somebody's salvation by their fruits, and their fruits don't back up what they're saying, I'm going to be judged by the same thing as my fruit. If I'm telling you that you're not loving and I'm not being loving myself, I'm going to be judged by the same thing. Some people say, you're not supposed to make judgment calls, preacher. You make judgment calls on the way here. You drove, 26 miles? It's around 26 miles on the way? And how many judgments did you make? You made a judgment when you pulled out onto the number 4. You made a judgment when you pulled out of your house driveway. You made a judgment when you got to Otis there of whether to drop speed or not. You made a judgment of to slow down at the stop sign when you got into town. You make judgments every day of your life. So this idea of the often misquoted Scripture, we can't judge. That's not what that thing's talking about. What he's talking about is if I'm judging Sodomites and I'm secretly a Sodomite, then I'm just as bad as they are. If I'm getting up preaching against adultery and I'm doing the same garbage and they're men that we know we don't know personally, but we've heard and know of situations where men that got up and preached against those things, guess what? They were secretly doing them. Friend of ours was staying with a couple, helping a church get off the ground in another state. I won't even say where it's at. Come to find out, she's down in the basement. Next thing you know, she's in there screaming and hollering, going on upstairs. The husband, the preacher, they got caught in his second affair. That's So I ask you to pray for me. Not because I'm struggling with that, but you just never know what's going to come your way. That's why I pray for y'all. Until I thought I knew just being a preacher, but until I took this and assumed this position as the pastor of this church and trying to guide, I did not know the weight and the pressure that really comes. I thought I did. And I'm not saying to knock you because I thought the same thing. Preacher, I can relate to it. You can somewhat. You'll get hurt by seeing those people that leave. We all got hurt when others have left. But the weight of it is on the preacher extremely hard and his family. So if you want to add to it, best thing you can do is just go on. If you don't want to live right, if you want to obey what that Bible says, you don't want to listen to what the Constitution says of this church, then by all means, I don't want to see you go. I don't believe people look better. Some people look better going than they do coming. I don't believe in that. I want to try to help everybody that walked through these church doors. I wish I could help them. But the truth is, I can't. And some people, unfortunately, are more of a hindrance because they're never going to get right with God. We've had a couple of them. Thank goodness they're gone. I hope none of the other ones come. Hope nobody else comes. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen as long as the Lord, the longer we're here, it's going to happen again. Things are going to happen. People are going to come in. They're going to cause problems. That's why, listen, I'm a man just like any other man, the other three men in this church. I'm a man just like you. Just as the Bible says, just as Elijah was, he was subject to like passions as all the rest of you. We are all unworthy before God, except for that atoning blood of Jesus Christ. I am washed in the blood of Jesus. I stand before you this morning in the righteousness of Christ, not of any works. There is nothing that I can boast of myself. I'm not here. I love you people because God's put it in my heart. I'm not here, and my wife's not here in La Crosse, Kansas. We do now, but we're not here. We didn't come here or wanted to be here because we love this place. We're here because God died for our sins, and He sent us here. Now it's in our heart, and we love it now. But when God began to speak to my heart in 2010 about the need to come out to Kansas, I was going, no, Lord. North Carolina is where I want to be. North Carolina is where I want it to be. Everything that I have done for the cause of Christ is because of Him. It's not because I wanted to do it. It's because He put it in my heart to come out here. He put it in my heart to be a preacher. He put it in my heart to serve Him, just like missions. If you're doing missions in the flesh, you're just doing it because you want the preacher off your back or what. You're doing it for the wrong reasons. You won't get any rewards. That's what he talks about, the judgment seat of Christ, whether our rewards be gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble. It's whether you're doing it in the flesh or whether you're doing it in the Spirit. I want to do it in the Spirit. I want to be here because God has called me here. I don't want to be here because I just want to make some name for myself. Because if I was trying to make my name for myself, La Crosse, Kansas, probably is not the place. But I'm telling you what, I see more opportunity here than I have even in big towns. I'm here because the atoning blood was touched and put on my heart in November of 2000. God changed. I mean, I'm thankful for what God did for me, because I know the road that I was on. I know where I would probably be right now. I'd be just like all my buddies that were drunkards. I'd probably be out drinking with them. I wouldn't be in church this morning if God had not saved me in November 2000. I wouldn't be here in La Crosse, Kansas if I had not got saved all those years ago. Who knows where my daughters would be this morning? We'd probably be, it could be even at the beach. Maybe not today, but sometime this summer. Their clothes stripped off, just like everybody else. Why do we live different? Because I want everybody to know that we are different. I don't do it to be mean. I don't do it to run down you ladies when I talk about wearing dresses and skirts. I do it because God has a standard. God has standards for men and women. The Bible says a woman is not to wear that which pertaineth to a man, and a man is not to wear that which pertaineth to a woman. And there is not a person in here that can deny that you go back there and you go anywhere around the world right now, just about, and the universal symbol for a woman is a woman in a dress. Give it a few more months. Give it maybe another year. They'll be taking that around away. 50 years ago, there would be no discussion about what men and women wore, especially the church. But you do it now and people get mad and upset. I can't believe the preacher says that. Hey, I'm not asking you to hold ladies any other standard I know. You won't come by my house and me out there with no shirt on. You won't come out there and find me in a pair of shorts. I want to be different because I want people to know. When we moved here, within 6 months of moving here, we probably had three different people come to us and tell us, I noticed that y'all are different. Your girls dress modestly. Now, whether they realize that or not, it's a testimony to them. I don't preach hard on it because I know if your heart gets right, you'll do it right. And if the blood's been applied, just like it was to mine, when a preacher got up and preached on what, my wife and I started listening to the right kind of music. I'm amazed. There's a guy I work with right now, and he seems like he may be saved. He's got a solid testimony. It's a black man that I'm working with over at Virtue Factor. Seems like he's got a good testimony. Really solid testimony. Unfortunately, now he's divorced and living with his girlfriend. But we talk about the Lord and he talks about salvation. And I mean, he's got a good testimony, unfortunately. He plays all kinds of ungodly rock music and everything else. How are you to make a difference in other people's life if you act just like they do? If you talk just like they do, if you drink the same things they do, if you dress like they do, if you skip church just like they do. That's why we have what we have in the Constitution, not to be mean or to be legal, but we do have a standard that we're trying to hold so that people can see a difference. Has the blood of Christ been applied to you? Is there a moment in your life when you can say definitively, this is because it's not convincing me. It's convincing him. He knows whether you lost or not. He knows whether you've trusted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. I can only just believe what you tell me. But God knows your heart. Is what you got enough to get you to heaven today? If it ain't enough to get you to church a couple more than Sunday morning, I think I'd be questioning it. Let's all stand. It's a free gift, verse number 18 tells us. It's a free gift. It doesn't cost you a thing, but come into this altar, humble yourself before God, and admitting the truth that I'm lost. And I need Jesus this morning. Father, may that atoning blood be applied to every heart here this morning. May God, that we have that moment, God, that we have made reconciliation with you, God. That we stop being the enemies of God and started being the children of our Father. Help us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.